Fund. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل نعم المولى ونعم النصير أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين أما بعد فقد قال الله الحكيم في كتابه المتين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا آمين صلوات على محمد وعلى محمد
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
أمير المؤمنين إمام علي عليه الصلاة والسلام
اللهم صل على
In describing his times that he lived in, divided the people into four categories. There were those people who wanted dunya but they were too weak to get it. There are those people who want dunya and they are brave enough to get it. And these were the two groups that we spoke about so far. The people that Imam Hussein had faced were not the people who were brave and courageous, were not the people who were spirited. Imam Hussein, he faced people who were lowlifes, who were spineless. They're too weak to get things. So they came out, they saw a helpless group of people with women and children and they pounced on them.
Wow.
It wasn't an equal battle to be proud of. It's not something a brave man would do and say that, hey, you know, I was involved in this battle. It was a shame to be involved in a battle like this. For anyone who's brave, it would be a shame for him to know. The people Imam Hussein faced were that first group of people that are too weak. They want power, but they're too weak to get it. They don't have it in them. These were the first two groups of people we talked about. Then Imam Ali spoke about two other groups of people. And those groups, I'll just go through them as we go on. Because all these four groups were there in the time of Imam Ali. All these four groups were there. The third group of people and the fourth group. And the fact is that the first two groups were worldly people. People who were materialistic. Who just wanted dunya. And they didn't hide it also. You know, they're clear about it. That's what we want. The next two groups that Imam Ali is describing are people who are religious. Or, you know, they look religious. Right? They look religious. And here, you see that the third group Imam describes, he says, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَطْلُبُ الدُّنْيَا بِعَمَلِ الْآخِرَةِ وَلَا يَطْلُبُ الْآخِرَةِ بِعَمَلِ الدُّنْيَا. He said that the third group of people are those people who seek dunya through actions that are meant for the hereafter. They seek dunya from actions that are meant for the hereafter. And they do not seek the akhirat from the actions of dunya. This is those people who, for example, they practice deen, they take the dress, they look like religious, they make themselves look religious, they make themselves look pious, But their intention and their whole goal out of this is dunya. Their objective is dunya. You see, everything that they do that is meant for akhirat, that is meant for deen, they don't want the akhirat from it, they want the dunya from it. They want more, you know, this dunya from it. You'll see that they will give sadaqah, right? They will give charity, not for Allah's sake, but to protect their own souls. Yeah, I mean, right, you give that, you say that, hey, listen, Mark, you know, because they heard hadith that says that if you give sadaqah, then you will be protected. So they give it just for that. And they don't give it because this is something that Allah likes or this is something that's going to help them in the akhirat. They do it because they heard that, listen, if you do this, you will be protected. So they do it. Even though we have hadiths that say that if you give sadaqah, this is one of the benefits. But that benefit now has become their goal. The goal wasn't that. The goal of deen is not that, to give you more dunya. The goal of the actions of deen is to make your akhirat. See, that's the goal. But they have made it their goal. So one thing they need to understand is that when you make dunya the goal of your religion, meaning that you do whatever practice you do of your religion is for dunya, then remember, one day that dunya will destroy your deen.
Yes.
That dunya will destroy your deen. You see, many people who came to Karbala were religious people, hafiz of Quran. They used to make prayers. I mean, you know, they were so strict on prayers that Imam Hussain is lying on the ground. They're upset. They're upset that, listen, would you please kill him? It's time for Asr prayer. You know, time is going away. We need to pray. The Imam of the time is dying and they want to kill him so they can pray Asr prayers. You see, my friend, understand this. This deen, this is the Imam, this is the grandson of the Prophet, and you are out here for what? What is the reason? Why are you out here? Just because of the promise of dunya. You see that? Just because the promise that Yazid had said, listen, you go there, I'll give you prizes. The prize money. That's what they do it for. You see, when deen is used for dunya, then that dunya will one day destroy your deen. Now who are these people? Imam Ali describes them. I'll just go through it without any details. Right? I'll just go through it. You know, he says that, and I won't even read the Arabic, let me just read the English, you know, so you understand, you know, right away, because we have a long way to go. He says, how do you know these people? Imam Ali described them. How do you know these people? He says, they keep themselves calm in dignity. Right? They keep themselves calm. You will see that their akhlaq will be, you know, very refined. You know, their akhlaq will be very refined. How they wear their aqiq, how they use their tasbih. Right? They will be very refined in how they do that. You know, they'll know all the tricks.
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
They raise small steps when they walk. They walk with small steps to keep their dignity. Right? To keep their izzat and dignity, they take small steps. You know, you take small steps because it's more decent.
Wow.
So they want to prove that they're decent, so they take small steps when they're walking. They hold up their clothes, you know, their abba, they hold it up, you know, so that, you know, so that doesn't get dirty, because they want to remain clean. They want, right, they want to protect themselves from getting dirty. They remain that. This is how Imam Ali is describing these people, right? And they embellish their appearance, their bodies, for appearance of trustworthiness. they make themselves dress in such a way and appear in such a way that people look at them and they trust them. Yes, he's muttaqi, brother. We need to trust him. We can trust him. Right? That we can trust him because he's very muttaqi and he's very pious. They have the dress of piety. They wear the dress of piety. The outward dress, not the inward dress. They never understood what taqwa is. You know, the outward dress of taqwa. They, like you can see, like for example, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari is an example of that.
Yes.
You know, very pious looking person. Everyone trusts, mashallah, he's such a, honorable person. Always reading Quran. You know, you every time you go to this place, always reading Quran, this and that. When dunya comes in front of them, they will sell their deen for dunya.
Yes, yes.
You see that? They will sell their deen for dunya. Abdul Malik ibn Marwan. You know, he was Abdul Malik after Yazid died, this and that, He became the Khalifa, He was the son of Marwan after Yazid, Then after that, Marwan took over, then after Marwan it was his son, Abdul Malik ibn Marwan. He was known as the crow of the masjid. Crow of the masjid, why? Because his whole life was spent in the masjid reading Quran. No life was spent in the masjid reading Quran. So much Quran he used to read. And they used to say that he is so much in love with the Quran. They had so much respect for him, so much in love with the Quran. Look at him, this and that. He was known as that.
Wow.
Right? The sparrow of the masjid. He was known as that. Right? So much attachment. And then when his dad died, and they said, listen, your dad is dead, and you are the Khalifa. He closed the Quran. He says, Haza. Hiraqo baini wa baini. He says, this is the separation between you and me. Because now I have been rewarded for what I've done to you. I've got my dunya now. You see that? Understand this, my friends? And he's the one who killed Imam Sajjad. He's the one who oppressed the Shias after Imam Hussein. Slaughtered them, massacred them. And that person became such that, one of the, these fake ulama, they went to advise him. Right? They went to advise him. He was killing so many people. He was massacring so many people. He went to advise him about his drinking problem.
Wow.
He went to advise him that he said that, you are the leader of the Muslims and this and that, and you shouldn't be drinking openly. And you see that also, openly.
Wow.
Okay, hide it. Right? You should be drinking openly. And this Abdul Malik looked at him and said, you came to advise me? You are an alim? You came to advise me? Is that what you call advice? I am killing people and you're asking me to stop drinking? I mean, here I am murdering people instead of advising me that. You are telling me not to drink. What kind of a, foolish person are you? I mean, he is laughing at that alim. Understand this. This is what happens to these people. They are those people who, again, their deen is meant to earn dunya. That's what they are.
Wow.
Imam Ali described. And this is a group that lived in the time of Imam Ali. He's describing the people of his time. Of his time. Right? Now let me go to the other group, the last one, right? The fourth group. He says, who are these fourth group? These are also the same type, but a little bit of a difference there. Right? He said that these are the people, again, whose weakness and lack of means have held him back from taking power. Right? Again, the same thing as the first group, but the only thing is that group that I mentioned at the beginning, they don't hide the fact that they're not religious. We have nothing to do with deen. We have nothing to do with religion. Right? They're open about it. Wow. They said, we just want dunya. Right? But we are too weak to get it. Right? They are too weak to get it. This fourth group is the same thing, but these people wear the clothes of religion.
Wow.
These are the people who wear the clothes. They want power, but they're too weak to get it. They want power, but they're too weak to get it. They're weak to go after it. And who are these people? Here you see Imam Ali had said that this, because they are weak, it keeps down their rank. Everyone looks at them in a low way. And because they are low, they are too strong to get respect of the people, they call that situation they are in as being content with whatever Allah has given them. They're not content with what Allah has given them. They just can't get more. You know? You can't get more respect. That's why you're like, oh, okay, whatever. You know, this is what Allah has given me and I'm happy with that. I'm happy with whatever Allah has given me. You're not happy with that. You want more. But the fact is that you're too much of a low life to get it. You're too spineless and gutless to get more respect. You're not good enough. But they make that as a cover and saying, no, alhamdulillah, you know, we are happy with whatever Allah has given us. These two groups use the name of Allah. One of those people you can use as an example is Umar ibn Sa'd. Umar ibn Sa'd, he falls under this category. This person was a religious person. He was a religious person. People respected him as a religious person. They respected him as a religious person. Whatever he would walk with, you know, people around him. And he would say that my father heard from Rasulullah. Umar ibn Sa'd was not just a normal person. His father Sa'd was one of the early converts to Islam. Early converts, the first 5-10 converts to Islam, he was one of them.
Wow.
His father Sa'd. Right? And this is his son, Umar ibn Sa'd. Right? He's not just a normal person. He had, you know, he had that. But you see, dunya at the end. Their thing is hubbe dunya. They love dunya. They are using the deen for dunya. These are the other two groups, my friends. All these four groups I have mentioned to you. Now, other than that, Imam Ali says, he stops over here. He says, these are the four bad groups. Now he comes to the good group. Now he comes to the good group. And now, see how he said. He said this is not a group. He said this is not a group. Right? This last one he's describing, which is the good one, is not a group. He's saying now, and you see the words of Imam Ali, and you'll really understand what he's trying to say. He said that the remainder of the people, the rest of the people, other than these four, the rest of the people, he says, these are people, and he describes them. He described them, he says, وَبْحَقِيَ رِجَالٌ غَضٌ أَبْصَارَهُمْ ذِكْرُ الْمَرْجِعِ. He says that the rest of the people, they, their eyes are, غَضُّ الْأَبْصَارِ means lowered, or here is in the meaning of that their eyes are fixed. Their eyes are fixed on their hereafter. This is the rest of the people. These other people are what? Their aim and their goal is the akhirat. They are just, you know, Imam Ali is saying they have a tunnel vision. Then they walk, when they live their lives, they're not looking at the distractions of dunya. They're not looking right, they're not looking left, they are fixated on the akhirat. You see the description, my friends, and understand, and these, Imam Ali is saying, these are the people who are good, right? And now he is describing them. Who are these people? That they are fixated on the akhirat. When you bring dunya to them, they're like, what's this? Come on. Not interested. You know, but, you know, this is the, you know, latest. So, not interested. Their eyes are fixed on the akhirat. That's it. They just want akhirat, Allah, akhirat. That's all. They're not into dunya. I said, you know, like for example, how will others feel if I have this car? You know, my friends all own Benz and I'm driving Honda. So what happens? I need to get Benz. Why? You know, for what? And again, my friends, understand this. We are not talking, I have explained this before, it's not about halal haram. Is it haram to get? No, it's not haram. It's not, it has nothing to do with haram and halal. What this group is, these are the people who have the capability of helping the imam. Those are the people Imam is describing. No, it's halal for you, and maybe you'll scrape through to heaven, you know, through some side door or somewhere. Maybe you'll get in by, you know, there won't be any mistake there. Maybe here there's a mistake, it can happen, you know. Your number is changed in the IRS, and you're, oh, I'm not hit as bad. There's no mistake. Right? You might be able to scrape through, but these are the people that the Imam is explaining. Who are the people who will help the Imam? Their eyes are fixated on the Akhirat. That's it. That's all they're looking at is Akhirat. I want my hereafter. That's it, Allah. I'm not interested in dunya. I don't want it. Even if dunya comes before me, I don't want it. I can give you examples. I just don't have the time. Really. We had examples of our ulama also. You know, one incident of Ayatul Ardabili, woke up in the morning, early morning, in the winter time. It's cold outside tonight, you know. It's cold outside, we all came in our coats. Right? It's cold for Florida. And he lived in a place where it was cold. Ayatul Ardabili. Yeah, he's also known as Muqaddas Ardabili. And this person, he woke up in the morning. And in those days, water wasn't inside. There's no taps that you can open the water and drink it from it. The water was outside, you need to go and get it from a well. But you see how they are tested and how they behave. He went there, put the bucket in the well, pulled up the water. And what he found is that there was no water, but it was filled with jewels. There's no water, he threw it back. And picked it up again, jewels, threw it back. He says, Ya Allah, I need water so I can make wudu to pray. I don't need these jewels. Imagine. Dunya is offered to them. They don't want it. They're not interested. Have no greed for it. Nothing. No desire. Nothing. So I don't need this. These are the people who what? Their eyes are fixated on the Akhirat, on the hereafter. وَأَرَاكَ دُمُوعَهُمْ خَوْفَ الْمَحْشَرِ Their eyes flow with tears out of the fear of rising up before Allah. Mm-hmm. You know, they are, you know, whatever they think about the day of resurrection, when they will rise before Allah, when they will stand before Allah, when they will stand before the Prophet, when they will stand before Fatima, when they will stand before Imam Hussein, they are crying for that day out of fear that they do not want to be embarrassed. Wow. They don't want to be embarrassed there. Right? That I did wrong to them, I took a right away from them. No, Allah, you gave me all this, I want to make sure that when I come before you, I do not have any debts that's remaining. They cry for that. And that's what makes their life well. It goes on. Now who are these people? Here Imam Ali is saying. Understand this. Here are they saying. He said, some of them are scared away from the world and dispersed. They're so much afraid that they are dispersed. They are thrown away. An example is Abu Dharr. You know, he was kicked out everywhere, out in the desert, died in the desert. No one is there to bury him. Right? And there are some who are frightened and subdued. They're frightened because they don't want the attraction of this dunya and the oppression that is going on. They hide themselves. They just lie low, waiting for the right time. Patience. There are some are quiet. They don't say much. They're very silent. They don't say much. But they are working. They just want waiting. And there are some who are praying sincerely. Some are grief-stricken and pained. They are grief-stricken by what's going on. And there are some who are openly preaching. They're openly preaching. They take out the command of preaching and they go out and they call others towards the truth. You know, and there's some whose mouths are closed, but their hearts are bruised. They can't speak, but their hearts are aching. He says, they preached until they were tired. These people are not listening. They preached to them. They were oppressed until they were disgraced. They were oppressed until they were humiliated by others, laughed at and ridiculed, and they were killed until they remained few in numbers. My friends, this is the fourth group. I'm not explaining this more than this, because here I want to conclude now. What Imam Ali is trying to say here. And really, this is something that from here, I want you all to be with me. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala. He says, four groups that were bad in the time of Imam Ali. And they were all growing. They're all advancing in their evil. They're advancing in their bad. They're advancing in their wrong. All of them. These four groups, Imam Ali described them. And all these four groups came out in Karbala. Right? When all these four groups came out, they became worse and worse and worse. When Imam Ali is describing these four groups, it's not that you remain the same. Don't think you remain the same. Don't think that it's going to be the same. Okay, you know what? This is what happens and that's it. He's going to remain the same. No, when you are on the way of decline, you are rolling downhill. You're rolling downhill and you go down. Now what happens is that on the other side, the good group is there also. The good are not dead. Don't think they're dead. They're also alive. And they're also living. And they're also growing. And they're also advancing in their good and becoming more powerful. They're also going on that side. Both of them start to grow. But at the beginning, my friends, at the beginning, the evil comes as hypocrisy. It comes as nifaq. It comes as hypocrisy. And because it's hypocrisy, because it's nifaq, it's very hard to distinguish it from haq. It's very hard to distinguish it from the truth. You know, if you look at a person who's religious and he's saying, Alhamdulillah. You're like, how can you say he's wrong? You know, if you see someone in Amama and Aba who comes over here and says he's an alim of deen, how can you say he's wrong? You know, why? Because what happened is that when you are a hypocrite, it's very hard to recognize you. It's very hard to recognize you because you are wearing the clothes of religion. You are saying the things that religious persons say. So now when you have that, it's very hard to recognize you because the truth and falsehood are very close to each other in hypocrisy. They are very close to one another. They're like this. And so when we look at it from far, we're like, what is the truth? What is haq? We don't know. Really? Look in the time of the Prophet. Looked at the Prophet. Who became the first Khalifa? You see, again, and I'll explain that, you know. What happened? MashaAllah, he's mu'min, muttaqi, pious, praying, crying when he prays. When he cries, tears are flowing. Yes. Yeah, he's a good man, you know. Good brother. You know? Model, model brother, alhamdulillah, you know. Always walking around humble. Obviously he's pious, muttaqi and this and that. Is he very hard to figure out? Now when you come to Imam Ali's time, then you had Muawiyah. A little bit more clear. Why? What's going on here? You see, because when the falsehood starts declining, then it starts going away from the truth. And as it separates from the truth, it starts to become more apparent. It starts to become more apparent. So in the time of Imam Ali, it was more apparent. Muawiyah was a little bit more apparent. But if you hear his speeches, you would say that, MashaAllah. You know, he's such a good speaker.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and he speaks, what's he speaking about? He's speaking about Allah, Prophet, hereafter, so on. And everyone is like, yes. You know, takbir, you know, this and that. Mavia speaking, Takbir, you know, good speaker, this and that. You know, excellent speaker. He charges $1,000 a majlis. Yeah, excellent speaker. Yeah, very good, you know. So, at least it was a little bit different. On the other side you had Ali, and this side you had this. So at least there was some difference to know. Mavia was a little bit separate. It wasn't like the first one. And then when it came to Karbala, it became distinct. It was so far apart that you can say, listen, that cannot be this and this cannot be that. You see, that's what happens when you start declining, because there's not just one level of batil, there are many levels of batil. There are many levels of batil. Where was Yazid in this? You see, where was Yazid? Where was Shaitan?
Yes.
When the usurper took the Khilafat from Ali, and people started making allegiance to him, so Imam Ali asked Salman, who was the first one to make allegiance? Who was the first one to make bayats? Salman said, I don't know, some old man. Never saw him before. Never saw him before. You never saw that man before. It's because that was Shaitan who made bayat to him before anyone else. He made bayat, and then he said, Al Yom ka Yom Adam. Today is like the day of Adam when Adam was taken out of heaven.
Wow.
My friends, you know, there are those who are outward batil. These outward batil, they're not the real batil. The batil is behind. They're invisible because they're too ugly to come out. They know it. They are too ugly. There's an invisible batil that's behind, that's working behind the curtains. So at least we should recognize the fact that those who are openly opposing Islam and openly opposing Shias and openly opposing Ahlul Bayt, they are not the real batil. The real batil is behind the curtain. My friends, understand this. You see, Umar ibn Sa'd, where was he? Who was Umar ibn Sa'd? Umar ibn Sa'd was a puppet of a puppet. The puppet of a puppet, you know. Now, if we take Umar ibn Sa'd as the main guy and said, you know what, all our hatred and focus should be on Umar ibn Sa'd. I mean, who actually killed Imam Hussein? Who slaughtered his head? Shibra. Right? He slaughtered the head. I mean, did Yazid touch Imam Hussein?
No.
I mean, did he put any cut on any people on Ahlul Bayt?
No.
No, he didn't do anything. Right? So we can say that, listen, Shimr is the main guy because he killed him.
Wow.
You know, he killed him. We have to blame Shimr.
No.
How about Yazid? No, he was too far away. You know, I mean, we really can't blame because we don't know intentions. The intentions, you know, it's all up to intentions. If he didn't do the crime, how can we blame him? My friend, why did Ahlul Bayt blame Yazid? It is to teach us that, listen, do not look at the opponent who's facing you. Look at the one who's holding his string. Because that is the real evil you have to fight. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala
Muhammad.
My friend, understand it. Be smart to know who your enemy is. You don't take Shimon as your enemy. Oh, Shimon is so bad, this and that. He's a puppet of a puppet. He's a hired worker. He's on an 8-to-5 job. He said, this is my job, man. I don't make the policies here. You know, it's just like worker who works 8-to-5 here, you know, minimum wage. He don't even get that. That's the bad part. You know, you work for minimum wage and still you don't get your paycheck. You know, that's bad. You know, and that's what he is. And here you are trying to make him the goal. Look, I mean, understand this. How stupid are those people who look at these so-called, you know, extremist Muslims and Wahhabis and say that they are our enemies.
No.
Friends, wait a minute. We are students of Karbala. We can't be fooled that easily. At least we should recognize batil never comes out so easily in appearance.
Yes.
At least we should know that. Yazid didn't come out, he sent Ibn Ziyad. Ibn Ziyad also sent Umar ibn Sa'd. Umar ibn Sa'd didn't send any, he said Shimr, you do it. He says, Ibn Sa'd, you're in charge, come down, you do it. No, you do it. Everyone wants to stay away because no one wanted that to happen. My friend, understand this. What did the batil want? Understand from Karbala, my friends, what did the batil want? What did they want from Imam? Did they want to kill Imam Hussein? They didn't want to kill him. They didn't even want this to happen. They didn't want that to happen. I mean, these people come here and say that, listen, you know, we're going to slaughter all of them, kill all of them, and that's it. No, that wasn't their intention when they came out. They're low lives. They ended up doing that, but not because of pre-planned. The intention wasn't that. The intention was much greater than that. Their evil was much greater than that. Right? What did they come out for? What did they come out for? What, all these numbers and this and that, for what? You see, they didn't want the head of Hussein. They wanted him to make allegiance.
That's right.
You see, they wanted him to make allegiance. They wanted him to make bay'at. You see, now, here are those people who have misunderstanding or no understanding. They say, well, you know, at least he should have made bay'at and he could have lived for 10 more years. You know, he could have made bay'at and lived for 10 more years.
That's right.
Have a happy life. Right? I mean, you're going to live for some time if you had made bayats. Right? The issue is this, my friends. If he is killed, you know, my friend, understand this. Deen and Islam, right? It's not about physical life. It's about spiritual life. It's not about dunya, it's about akhirat.
Yes.
It's not here to give you a life of 10 more years. It's here to give you a life of forever. If you want 10 more years, go to the doctor and get some medicine. Right? You want 10 more years, go to a doctor and get a surgery. 10 more years, great. You know? But if you want eternity, then come to Deen and you will have eternity. The goal of Deen is very high. And batil also knows that. What does Shaitan want? To kill Imam Hussein? To take that 10 extra years away from him? No, really, my friends, we need to know a little bit deeper. Shaitan doesn't want that. What Shaitan wants is that Hussein is not killed, but he is humiliated. That he is disgraced. That he brings him down.
Yes.
Why? What will happen with that? What will you get out of that? He said, if Hussein is the Imam of the time, if he is brought down and humiliated, then the door of guidance is forever finished.
Yes.
What Shaitan wants is not to kill Hussein, but to kill guidance. That's what they wanted. They wanted Hussein to submit. I mean, bringing out 40,000, 50,000 people, the kid 72. It was submission they wanted from him. They wanted him to submit. That's what they wanted. So when they wanted that, now when Imam Hussein looked at their plan, saw right through it. That's your plan? Alright. Now I'm going to make your plan and destroy it in such a way that that plan is never drawn up again.
Yes.
Alhamdulillah. If that's the plan you want, then this now let me destroy it, annihilate it in such a way that that plan that you have is never drawn up again on any drawing board of any battle boardroom. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ali
Muhammad.
So when Batil came out, Hussein came out. Yeah. Now you see, they were expecting everything to be happening hush hush. Hey, let's make it happen. No one knows about it. No one understands what's going on. We get the job done. We make him do bayat, kill him. And even if he doesn't do bayat, kill him and say that he did bayat. See, the issue was, even if we kill him, say we did that he did bayat. Say he did, who knows? We are the army here. We'll kill him. Who is he? Only with a few people of his family. We will kill him. No one would know. And we will say that he has done bayat. And after that, he went back and we fought. And so whatever happens. So that they can tell the world that Hussein bowed down before Yazid. Haq bowed down before Batil. And that's the end of Haq. Now what they had the plan, now their plan, now you see how it backfired. What they weren't expecting was all these different things that were happening. You see, Zuhair, he was a companion of Uthman. He was a companion of Uthman. He used to be one of the leading members of Uthman's government. He came on Hussein's side. Like, Zuhair, why did you go there? We weren't expecting this from you. I mean, you are a top-notch hard shot. You know, you're in Uthman's government, this and that. How did you turn? How did you end up there? You see, Hur ended up there. Hur, what are you doing there? You're one of Yazid's commanders. What are you doing over there? You see, the fact is that, you see, Hur is just one person. But the message was so important for them. That why is a person like Hur going there? Without Hussein, only his family and those ignorant, foolish, tunnel vision people will be with him.
Wow.
We weren't expecting Hur to be with him. We weren't expecting Zuhair to be with him. We weren't expecting all of these things to be happening. Non-Muslims becoming Muslims like Wahab. A Christian walking by, hey Christian, what are you doing? What are you becoming Muslim? That too for him. You're going to die for him? I mean, that, my friends, understand this. What is Karbala? All these angles is what makes Karbala, Karbala.
Subhanallah.
Everything made Karbala. Zuhair made Karbala. Hur made Karbala. Wahab made Karbala. John made Karbala. All of these things were the plan that Allah had in mind, that everyone will be represented there.
Subhanallah.
So no one can say only this group of people died, only Bani Hashim died. Hey, wait a minute. What was Hur doing there? Right? Oh, only these people who didn't know the Prophet Habib ibn Mazahir. What was he doing there? You want companions, you had companions. You want slaves, you had slaves. You want converts, you had converts. You wanted rich people, you had rich people. You wanted influential people, you had influential people. Every group of people was represented with Hussein. You want Yazid's people, Yazid's commander was in Hussein's side. Now what do you want? Now when they looked at this, really, Hussein made their whole plan turn upside down. You see, the reason they chopped up Ahlul Bayt and they were so merciless in killing Ahlul Bayt was not because they came with that intention, but they were angry that their plan did not work.
Yes, Raj.
They were angry that their plan did not work. Now let's get rid of him so hard. We hate them for it. You know? He destroyed our plan, you know? This was that emotion that they had. That is an emotion. So that group is growing on one side, my friends. Then the one, these people, just like Imam Ali said, that these people who are growing, all these four groups, they grew, they declined so far that Karbala came about. And on the other side, the good people, they were also in the society, hiding like pearls in the ocean. Hiding like pearls in the ocean. Whenever bad becomes intense, then those who are good also become intense. And when this batil comes out in the open, my friends, listen to this so that you know. When the batil comes out in the open, then those who are good, who are lying there, waiting there, dispersed in the land, they will all make so much advancement that one night will become like 100 years. Now, understand this, my friends. Batil has been working for how many hundreds of years to reach this position that we are in today right now? How many years did they reach? How many organizations did they open? How many international organizations did they open? All of this happened. It took hundreds of years. Hundreds of years for them to become so strong. Now Allah changed one government. Now the word of Ahlul Bayt is growing everywhere in the world. And so fast. How is that happening? Because now that batil brought its face out in the open, now haq can also bring out its face in the open.
Takbir!
Allahu Akbar! Allahu Akbar! Allahu Akbar!
Understand this. This is how Allah works. Batil tried since the death of the Prophet to make themselves strong. And when Yazid came to the fore in a matter of 4 months, that army was ready to come and fight him. That army was there. They're lying there. They're everywhere. These are those believers that Imam Ali is speaking about. They're growing, my friends. They're growing. Now, the only thing I'll advise you right now, two things. Bear it in mind, two things, and understand this difference between Imam Hussein's army and his time and the time of Imam Mahdi.
Yes.
You know, there's one thing that is like, and the one thing that is difference. You know, what is the thing that is similar that Imam Mahdi's revolution will have with Imam Hussein's revolution? Understand this, my brother. And it's very important for us. What is that similar thing? Yes, the similar aspect of both these revolutions is that there will not be time when you are called. There will be no time when you are called to get ready. In Imam Hussein's time, when Imam Hussein rose up, there was no time. Decide right there. Decide right there you want it or not. If you're not ready, then you will not be there. If you're ready, you'll be there. In Imam Mahdi's time also, if you are not prepared, then you don't have time to decide. You should have decided beforehand. So when the call will be made, then you have no time to decide after that. You have no time to prepare. Oh, Imam has called. Let us get ready now. It's too late. It's too late. Just like in Imam Hussein's time, it was too late. If you're not ready to help the Imam, then when the Imam calls, it's too late to prepare then. You should have prepared beforehand.
Yes.
See, the whole idea of intizar is what? Get ready. Get prepared. So that when the Imam will call you, you're ready to jump.
Yes.
You're ready to fight. You're ready to be there with him. Now you say that, well, inshallah, when the Imam will call, we will all be there for him. The Imam will call, there won't be any time. This is the similar aspect between Imam Mahdi's revolution and Karbala. Right? Now, in that, understand this. You know, really. A lot of people, you know, they say that, you know, we're not ready. Right? We're not ready. That you're not ready? All this matam and beating your chest you're doing and saying, Ya Abbas, and you're still not ready?
Ya Allah.
All this mourning that you do and you hit yourself and this and that, you're still not ready? I mean, you work hard, you know, you say Ya Abbas and you hit yourself. You spend yourself for Imam Hussain. You spend yourself for Abul Fadl al-Abbas. Right? And you're still not ready. Right? Understand this. You're not ready, huh? I mean, how can you not be ready? You should have been ready. Right? You should have been ready. You know, because, you know, if you have done this for Abbas, Abbas does not leave anyone, he does not leave anyone without thanking him. You know, you have made a debt towards Hazrat Abbas by hitting yourself, spending yourself for in his grief and his mourning. My friends, I can tell you now, I can promise you, Abbas will not let that debt go away. He will repay you. Each and every one of you will repay you. This is one thing that is similar between Imam Mahdi and Karbala. And the thing that is different from Imam Mahdi and from Karbala is what? When we will go there,